This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. Care and Connect is a public service program of KPTZ Community Radio to better acquaint our listeners with the valuable work of local nonprofits. This week we bring you a special Care and Connect edition of the Compass, focused on the work of the East Jefferson County affiliate of Habitat for Humanity, the international charitable organization dedicated to providing simple, decent, and affordable housing to low-income families. So now, let's go inside the Compass. It was only towards the very end of the open house that had been billed as the kickoff for the event known as Women Build at the two Habitat for Humanity homes nearing completion in the brand new Birkenfeld community across from Seaport Landing that I finally managed to get myself over there. As I approached the construction site, I noticed a young woman in a fluorescent green t-shirt emblazoned with the Habitat for Humanity logo standing talking with some visitors in front of one of the modest newly erected bungalows. This turned out to be Natalie Oswald, manager of volunteer engagement for the local affiliate of the international nonprofit dedicated to getting affordable roofs over the heads of low-income families. I introduced myself, and as we began to talk, her infectious enthusiasm quickly led me to understand why she had been given her job.
So today we're just finishing up a two-day event. That's been a kickoff event for our Women Build, our annual Women Build. It's an event where we invite women from the community to join us at the construction site. As part of that, we've had demonstrations on construction, open house tours, information sessions about what we do in the community, how you can partner and own a home, things that we do all over the world, how you can join up and take a trip to a community that's far away that needs your help and build there. So our affiliate in East Jefferson County has actually built almost as many homes overseas as we have here.
Was that right?
It is right.
Yeah, I mean, why don't you talk to me a little bit about how Habitat is organized?
Absolutely. So Habitat for Humanity International is an international nonprofit organization, and there are affiliates in somewhere around, I think, 70 countries. And then there are numerous affiliates in the United States that work in their individual counties or states. Some cities have their own. We're one of the smaller affiliates in East Jefferson County as far as population that we serve. But we do a lot here with the number of people and resources that we have.
And so about how many houses or living units has Habitat created here since, what, is 98 when you started?
So the affiliate was started in 1998, and the first house was built in 1999. That was before there were any staff members. The staff didn't come along until a number of years later. We have built, we just broke ground on our 37th house. This is house number 35. And 36. So they are not complete and dedicated yet, the homes that we're looking at in this community, but they're very close.
And there's going to be, it looks like, several more around this loop.
Yes.
What's the name of this loop?
This loop is called Nora Porter Loop, and the obviously named after Nora Porter, who is a great supporter of what we do. And there will be 12 homes total in this loop, and then there's also the space that we're kind of looking at over here is the park, which will have playground equipment. You can see the picnic tables. Those were just brought out yesterday. A local Girl Scout troop built the picnic tables and delivered them as a gift to Habitat and in support of Women Build.
All right, so this house we're standing in front of right here, it looks like it's about, what, 1,000 square feet or...
Mm-hmm. It's just under 1,000 square feet, so it's around 900 square feet. It's a two-bedroom home. It's the smallest home that Habitat builds, and you'll notice it's two bedrooms without a garage. So we build affordable, decent homes, and often that entails, just the two bedrooms, maybe more if the family is larger. There's a storage shed that's attached to the back, and a really nice open floor plan inside the home.
So Describe to me the range of volunteer opportunities available with Habitat. I mean, you know, it's not all just hammering nails, is it?
Absolutely not. And that's my favorite question, because I'm in charge of managing the volunteers. And I love to sit down with people and find what their strengths and interests are. We, of course, do construction, and we have the store. We have two stores, one in Port Townsend, one in Quilcene. And we have the office volunteers that come in and work in the office doing anything from data entry to thank you notes, making phone calls. Other opportunities are advocacy work, serving on a committee. You might help us plan.
What do you mean by advocacy work? What kind of advocacy are we talking about?
So Habitat for Humanity, because our mission is broad enough that we are not just building homes, but we're looking for housing solutions. We have groups of people who advocate, and that can be at a state level or a national level. Potential laws.
Advocate for legislation?
Correct. Advocate for legislation, advocate for affordable rentals and laws that help keep people in their homes, aging in place, that type of advocacy work. We have professionals who come in and teach our homeowners a number of different life skills and financial skills, and that's an important part of what we do. So it could be you volunteer to teach a course in financial management or conflict resolution. Any way that you can contribute your skills is a volunteer position.
And about how many volunteers are volunteering for Habitat in Port Townsend and Quilcene right now?
So in countywide for our affiliate, on an annual basis, we have around 300 volunteers. Some of those volunteers will come out once for a group build. So local organizations often come to us and say, we'd like to come out for a day and build. And recently we had the Bar Association out. They came out and did some great work on the fencing for this community and helped work on painting the homes. That could be a one-time volunteer where they come out once a year with their group. We have other people who come into our office once a week and work a shift, and they have their own inbox and their computer and their desk just like anyone would at a job. So there's quite a range within that 300 or so volunteers with how many hours they contribute.
And how many staff?
Let's see. We are currently staffed with 7, and we have 2 part-time in the store.
Among those staff, there must be a general contractor.
We have a construction manager, and he's actually, I see him walking in and out of the homes. He's bringing in a load of laminate flooring that the women builders are going to install. His name is Dave Grauberger.
I had, in fact, noticed Grauberger pulling up in his big pickup truck and offloading material. Thanking Oswald, I went over to talk to him. So how long have you been working with Habitat?
About a year.
Well, not that long.
No. My wife was on the founding board. She was instrumental in bringing Habitat to the area, so now it's kind of come full circle. So now it's time for me to step up a little bit.
How many? So you I imagine, were the contractor for the building this house here. About
Correct.
How many workers were there on that project?
Overall, it's really hard to say. We have a core group of volunteers that come out regularly, and that's a core group is of about 7 to 10 that are very consistent, that have, you know, that know the process, know a little bit about the building. But overall, probably 50. And you get those intermittently, so there's a lot of ongoing training, a lot of interesting techniques that they bring to the table.
Are you learning new techniques yourself?
Every day. Some I will carry forward, and some I would hope not to ever see again.
Well, I imagine that there's a certain amount of training, though, that you're doing for...
Every day. It's ongoing. Starts in the morning. You will go through a little bit of safety orientation, trying to identify the topics of discussion for what projects we have going on during the day.
Does Habitat get a lot of materials donated?
Not as much as we'd like to see. Obviously, we would be looking for more. It would be nice if the local areas could donate. But, you know, in an area such as this, they have to put food on the table, too. So, you know, we understand that. They do give us a fairly good price on most of the materials. But, you know, we're some of the affiliates, like the Tacoma affiliate, for example, they get all their siding donated for the houses. They get a lot of their plywood sheathing for the roofing donated. They get they have core groups that come in and literally they do the foundation. That's all they do. Then another group will come in and they'll do the framing. That's all they do. Then another group will come in and finish the house. And so, you know, it would be nice if we had the population to draw from. We could probably set something like that up. But in a limited resource and economically challenging area, it makes it a little bit more difficult.
Right. So there is no sort of like national system where there's a large number of houses.
Whirlpool donates the range and the refrigerator to every house, and then they give some excellent pricing on the other appliances if the homeowners so choose to have a washer and dryer or dishwasher or garbage disposal, microwave, those kinds of things. Whirlpool really has stepped up. Dow is also one. They donate a lot of the styrofoam that we use for the exterior insulation. Lock sets, Yale, I think they've donated over 500,000 lock sets throughout nationally. So all the lock sets we put on are Yale for the houses. The doorknobs are Yale. So kudos to Yale. Schneider Electric donates a lot of the electrical, like your meter bases, your panels, and then your circuit breakers.
And in terms of local businesses, we have major donors? For our local house.
We do have sponsorships. Carl's gives us an excellent break on building materials. Most of them do give you some kind of a break. You know, might be a straight 10% discount or something similar to that. But Hadlock Building Supply, Carl's, Henry's Hardware, and then Arrow's been nice to work with also.
At about this time, I saw Habitat Executive Director Jamie Maszewski exiting the neighboring building and hastened to talk with her before she got away. I started with a question that had been nagging at me. How does somebody become a recipient of a Habitat home?
That's a great question. You know, people actually become buyers of Habitat homes. They apply to us, and we have three main criteria for people to become a Habitat home buyer. The first is need, which means that they are lower income, but they need to have housing because the housing they're in right now isn't decent. The housing, as you might know, in this community is terribly unaffordable, and it means that people are renting things that can be in very bad shape. They might be very overcrowded or just in really bad condition. It's not just that they want to become a homeowner, but that they actually need our help to live in better housing. The second criteria is they have to be able to repay a mortgage that's low cost, but they still have to repay it. So they need a decent source of income that's stable, and they need to have decent credit, not a certain credit score, but we need to see that they repay their obligations and not have a recent bankruptcy. And the third requirement of becoming a Habitat home buyer is that people are willing to put in sweat equity. They participate in building their own home right alongside volunteers. They take a lot of homeowner education to become successful at owning a home. It's different than renting. You don't get to call the landlord when something goes wrong. And we do financial education. We've never foreclosed on a Habitat house, and we don't want to. So homeowners get education about all of those obligations so that when we put them in and we turn over the keys and they sign the mortgage documents, they're going to be good to go and successful at that.
All right. Well, so this must have happened where you've qualified someone, the house is built, it's done, and then a job is lost, and that financial picture changes for them. How have you avoided foreclosure in those sorts of situations?
Once they buy the house, they are going to face some situations that are difficult. Their financing for their home loan might be through the federal government program, the USDA program. In that case, when people lose their source of income through no fault of their own, something they can't control, a layoff or something else, there actually can be up to 24 months that their mortgage is in forbearance, that they'll pay it back later, but while they get back on their feet. So we have some tools in the toolbox to help them with it, but in the end, it will be an obligation that they have. If someone really, truly can't
can't fix that situation, we can buy their home back from them if they would like to sell their home back. And that also is a way to avoid foreclosure.
So what does a home like this end up costing?
A typical mortgage for a two-bedroom home is about $135,000. For a three-bedroom home, about $148,000, $150,000. And for a four-bedroom home, more like $160,000 to $165,000. A monthly payment on a Habitat home, though, is really interesting to watch. Typically between $550 and $750 a month, which is, when you think about rent in this community,
that's low.
It's very low, and it's such a good quality home. Utilities are inexpensive because it's so well built. It's Energy Star certified, so very low cost to heat it and maintain it.
What determines that price?
The price is determined, we get an appraisal on each house, and the appraisal is the high end of what a house is, and then we set the price of the mortgage of the house based on what the home buyer can afford to pay. So this house that we're standing at might appraise for $150,000, but the amount that may be affordable for this mortgage is $135,000. And the gap there, the $15,000, will be put in a silent second mortgage that we won't ever collect on until and unless the person sells their house.
Ah, I see. And so then there's a stipulation that the house must be
sold back to Habitat. We get a chance to buy it back and put another family into it, in which case they don't have to worry about the silent second mortgage. Or else, if it's sold on the open market, then it will be sold for the higher
amount.
That
would only happen if Habitat passed on
purchasing.
That's
right. If Habitat passes on the purchasing, then it can go be sold on the open market, in which case Habitat would be paid back for the silent second mortgage.
Now, Habitat actually provides financing itself, or is the financing through some other entity?
Both. The preferred financing is through another entity. The preferred financing is the USDA program that I mentioned with the federal government. That is a loan program for low-income home buyers. It's actually available to all low-income people who are buying homes, not just Habitat homeowners. The interest rate is capped at the time you buy the house, at the market rate, but because of your income being low, they put a subsidy, so you may pay only 1% interest on your mortgage, which makes it very affordable. So that's the primary loan program that we have. There are some home buyers still who get Habitat home mortgages, a zero interest mortgage directly through Habitat. We only can do so many of those mortgages. When the USDA finances it, we can take the money and turn around and build another house with it. Otherwise, we have to hold the mortgage for many years, 30 years, and we can't build another house quite as quickly.
Now, on a totally different subject, I'm doing a story also about a man named Richard Friedrichs, who has real connections in Nepal, and he actually is going with his son, who's a firefighter in Portland, to go and help people rebuild in Nepal. And I understand that Habitat is involved with those efforts as well. So maybe you could tell me a little bit about that effort.
Certainly. Habitat for Humanity has been present in Nepal for 18 years. Our parent organization has a major project scheduled there in November. And so we've already been on the ground and working, and we are raising money now to help with emergency shelter. Any money that comes directly to our affiliate, we send 100% of it to the efforts in Nepal.
So Habitat is engaged around the world, right? How many different countries do you know?
I don't know the exact number right now, but it's engaged in many places, 50 countries, something like that, and engaged in different ways, not always in building new homes, in housing solutions. Houses in some communities, the housing has been terrible for people's health because people cook inside with fire, and the breathing for people is very hard. So we've been involved in housing solutions with clean stoves, with latrines, things that improve communities and housing in many countries. 10% of the funds we receive here locally, we send to our sister affiliates. Our partnerships are in Brazil, in Lesotho, and in Ethiopia. And we have built more than 40 homes overseas because of the contributions locally.
How are those sister areas chosen? Why those particular areas?
Partly it's Ethiopia. There are many children in Port Townsend who've been adopted from Ethiopia and families who care about people in Ethiopia. So that was one of the reasons to select that. Lesotho has an orphan and vulnerable children population that's so high because of AIDS. And so that really hit our hearts that many of those children needed housing, and the Habitat housing there is for those children specifically, with an older relative living with them who can care for them.
Now, when something like the Nepal quake comes along and there's this emergency effort, is it the local affiliate that decides, all right, this is important for us and we're going to do an effort for this, or does that come from some sort of like central headquarters?
Our central organization in Atlanta, Habitat for Humanity International, spearheads the effort there. It's much more than any local organization could manage. Right. So they're spearheading it, and they inform all of the local affiliates. And we, as a local affiliate, just said, wow, this is really serious, and we know people locally care about this and want to help, so we're going to help with it. And that's what's happened. We have just done that. They haven't told us to. We just said we want to help.
So you get a check tomorrow for $500 in the mail. It doesn't say whether it should go to Nepal or what it should be used for. Does part of it go to Nepal? I mean, what happens with that check for
$500? If they don't earmark it, it goes first for the local work here in East Jefferson County. We're building in Port Townsend. We're getting ready to start another home in Chimicum. And 10% of that $500 will be sent to our overseas partner. If it's earmarked specifically for Nepal, we will send it to Nepal.
I see. About 24 volunteers, most of them females, showed up early the next morning for the beginning of Women Build, the annual Habitat tradition for the week leading up to Mother's Day, which aims to provide a comfortable and safe environment for women to both learn construction skills and to make a difference by building homes and communities, with a heavy emphasis on safety. The day began with a presentation on that subject by Dave Grauberger.
If I see somebody operating a saw without safety glasses, it's going to be, you know, I'll gently give you a reminder. The second time, it's not going to be quite so gently. The third time, I'm probably going to ask you not to operate the saws. We have to take safety seriously. Don't be afraid of the saws, especially the table-mounted saws. They're fairly safe. Just respect them.
The volunteers were divided into teams, with novices assigned to experienced leaders, with one crew to install the flooring Grauberger had delivered the day before, another to cut and assemble fencing panels, and yet another to use those panels to erect the fence along the back of the properties. No assumptions were made of prior experience on the part of the newcomers.
Yeah, precision, so measure a couple of times, synchronize the tape measures, make sure everything, all the tape measures are synchronized, and then we'll come out and we'll make some practice cuts with the measures and just see how we do.
Well, let's try the holes.
Let's do the holes first.
Just see
so
how
who's
the...
going to tell us where to dig?
And how do you measure
I'll
them?
Show you. I'll show you.
And then those are 2x2s. We'll be using those as well. And there should be some 1x2s, and they've got them over here. And you can see everything screwed in. We've got screw guns over here, battery operated. They're real easy to change out. You push the button, this part slides forward. We've got chargers up in the shack up here. Slide a new one in, you're ready to roll. I'm gonna have you go ahead. You want to make sure it's just up flush to the top. Go ahead and see what you can do there. Yep.
That's the right way?
Yep. Righty tighty, lefty loosey.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't want to make the same mistake twice.
Just gentle on the trigger, that's all.
Okay.
Is that your first time using a drill driver?
Yes.
That's good.
Good job.
Yeah.
How do you feel now?
I hope it'll get as easy as a mixing spoon real soon.
Go ahead and give that a shot. There you go. That's a little good.
I found Scott Smith, the somewhat shy and retiring buyer of one of the two new houses, working on the fence building crew, and persuaded him to give me a short interview.
Now, I live next door to your station. I live on Garfield right now in a little one of those boarding houses on the Garfield boarding house that has about 6 apartments in it.
So how long have you been there?
About 3 years.
So how long ago did you...
start Habitat?
Start the process for this place.
It was about 2013. I started volunteering and building houses for Habitat.
Really? So do you do construction? Is it that your career?
It's a fun side job. I'm a caregiver of my profession. That's my job. I work for Seaport Landing across the street.
Oh, really? So you're going
to
be...
So I'll be able to walk to work and come home on my lunch breaks.
Right.
Because I get half-hour lunch breaks, so I'll be able to walk across the street for lunch. It's a perfect job right across the street.
So you were volunteering for Habitat, and...
I've gotten a lot of time in. I think I have 300 or 400 hours in of volunteer time.
So tell me about the application process for getting a house of your own.
Oh, it was easy. They base it on your living situation, what you're in. If you're in a high rent district, or if you're in a troubled setting, a setting where like a camping situation almost in the setting. I'm in a high rent district, so that's where they picked me because it's way above it's a caregiver salary. The rents in Port Townsend are a little bit pricey for a caregiver's salary.
So you don't mind telling me what you're paying now?
It's about $800 a month for a one bedroom.
And what's this going to cost you in the mortgage?
Probably period? Half that much. It's going to be 30% of my income. That's how they base it. And it's a principal only loan, no interest.
So, what part did you take in the like the design of the house?
I picked the colors, the electrical settings inside. I got to pick the lighting and the way they wired the rooms.
Where like the location of the outlets
of internet connections and TV connections, and I get to pick some of that, but most of it is done by the county. The architecture firm did most of it. There's a set Habitat design for Habitat building right now. They just have a set plan for a two bedroom house.
Tell me about your family. Do you have kids or
no? I'm single, male. I'm divorced, but I have no children and no dependents.
So you'll be living
here. It's a different situation for Habitat. They haven't had a lot of single head of households, and Thorne's single too, my next door neighbor.
So now when do you expect to be moving in here?
June 30th. The house should be done May 30th, but Thorne's house is going to be June 30th, so we should have a celebration at June 30th.
So you're planning a party?
Oh, yeah. The first houses of Birkenfeld. It's the first two houses for this development. So it's a homeowners association of two people right now.
Do you know what the plans are for the development? I mean, when should all 12 houses be in? Is that planned out?
That's up in the air. I don't know that answer. I think you got to ask Jamie that question.
Yeah.
I think they do a couple houses a year. So I plan on volunteering. It'll just be right down the street from my house, so I'll just keep volunteering, even though I've got my hours in for the house.
Well, it sounds like you may have had your hours in before you even started.
Yeah, I had them.
As I was departing, manager of volunteer engagement Natalie Oswald approached me to put forward the idea that KPTZ, as part of its Care and Connect campaign, might want to coordinate a Habitat Community Build Day of its own for KPTZ listeners sometime in the summer, an idea which even now is in the gestation process. So stay tuned for further announcements in the near future. This is Steve Evans reporting for KPTZ Community Radio News. This week's KPTZ Compass was written and produced by Steve Evans. The Compass airs Mondays and Saturdays at noon, Tuesdays at 5 p.m., and Wednesdays at 10 a.m. exclusively here on KPTZ, the home of eclectic, authentic community radio. For the news team here at KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, I'm Steve Evans.